Well, hello there. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. There you'll find our sermon audio page and a link to our Facebook page. You may be watching this on YouTube. Anyway, God bless you and thanks for joining us. Today, we are going to start a series. I don't know how long it's going to go, at least to probably three, maybe four sessions here. I'm not sure how long I want to keep the sessions going as far as length of time. Maybe 20 or 30 minutes. Let's see. But it's an important topic always, and especially right now. And that right now is always right now. But the question we're exploring is why God allows you to suffer. And when it comes to suffering and our fear of it, I'm still learning how to make these pages do what I want to do, so you'll bear with me there. When it comes to our suffering and our fear of it, I think the issue for many Christians is not that they fear death, but that they fear a painful life. And we wonder why God allows such pain. Now, first off, we know that bad things happen to both good people and bad people as a result of sin in the world. But we wonder why God allows his own people to suffer. And we're about to read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. And it's going to talk a lot about comfort and deliverance. But we read that, and we might only think of comfort as relief and deliverance as escape. But if you start with your pain rather than God's purposes, you might spend all your time trying to learn how to avoid it all or how to take control and overcome it all as if that's a matter of faith. Now, of course, benefiting from God's good purposes for your suffering is indeed a matter of faith, but the most important lesson of pain, hear me, is not learning how to avoid it or overcome it. It's learning to depend on God, even when the pain doesn't go away, even when you have to face a bigger battle with less strength. In your weakness, God offers you a helpless dependence on him. That's what it means to have a childlike faith. That's what a childlike faith is all about. Think of children. They are dependent. They trust. That's what God wants. Now, let's read this passage. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 11. I'll read the passage, and then we're going to look briefly, reviewing some of the reasons why God allows his people to suffer. And again, this is part 1. We're not going to cover all the reasons in this message, but we'll continue with more reasons in our next message, and we'll cover, I believe, about 17 reasons that are good purposes of God. And I believe that when you see what those are, and you take the time, we can send you a PDF of this material. If you've been to our Wednesday night services, we've been covering some of this, you'll recognize that until we get to the last few that we haven't done yet, and that'll serve as our Wednesday service as we are all quarantined or self-contained, as it were, during the coronavirus. And then also, we'll put stuff on sermon audio for our Sunday. But this is vitally important stuff, and it's really, to be honest with you, thrilled my soul. It's helped me, and I believe it'll help you. So let's get to the passage first. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we're afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. And if we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Heavenly Father, as we go through this teaching, lift up our hearts towards you. Help us to see you and what you're doing and to trust that not only are you the ultimate, the creator, the sustainer, the Lord, the reconciler, you are good. You're a good God. Help us to understand that and to give in to what you're doing. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I hope you said that prayer. So, why does God allow you to suffer? First reason, we don't have this in any particular order except through the verses here. Number one, to reveal his compassion. 2 Corinthians 1:3, we just read it, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." Psalm 63:3 says, "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." Why does God allow you to suffer? Because in your misery, God manifests himself to you in an intimate way as the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. You experience God. You experience who he is, that he is a comforter. Why does God allow you to suffer? To comfort you. Number two, to mold your ministry. Look at verse 4 again, 2 Corinthians 1:4. "Who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Again, we're going through these verses very quickly and giving you sort of a bullet point list here. We can send you PDFs of all. We spent several weeks, maybe a week on each one of these verses. And on Wednesday nights, which we won't be at tomorrow, this is March the 17th. Tomorrow will be March the 18th. Normally we'd be looking at verses 9 and 10 and 11. We looked at verse 8 last week, and the week before we started this, I wanted to bring it to you. But anyway, if you want more depth, we have it for you. God bless you. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 1:6. "If we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer." Again, why does God let you suffer? To mold your ministry. Think about Peter at the Last Supper. This is Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. I did a sermon on this years ago named "Strengthen Your Brothers." Very popular on sermon audio. Check it out. Jesus said, "Simon, Simon," that's Peter, "behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you turned again, strengthen your brothers." Why does God allow you to suffer? To reveal his compassion, we said, and to mold your ministry. One reason why God allows difficulties in your life is so that you can help others to learn to help others through the difficulties in their life. Let me say that again. As we said last time, we're still learning this stuff, and I'm not going to do edits and make it all fancy and all that. I just want to bring it right to you. Why does God allow you to suffer? One reason why God allows difficulties in your life is so that you can learn to help others through the difficulties in their life. I'm sure you've experienced that. You've gone through something, you can help someone else go through their something. Number three, to prove your faith. This is such an important one. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4 and 5, listen to this. "Therefore we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in all the afflictions that you're enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, which you're also suffering." Their suffering didn't make them part of the kingdom of God. But because they were part of the kingdom of God, they suffered, and it proved their faith. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, yes, I touched my face. I just washed my hands, and I'm not going outside. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Why does God allow you to suffer? Because when God tests you with a trial, and yet your faith doesn't die, it proves your salvation to you. You're going through this, you're knocked down, you're at the bottom of the well, you still find God, he's still there for you. And let me tell you, an enduring faith is a saving faith. He that endures to the end will be saved. Reveal his compassion, mold your ministry. prove your faith. Sounds good so far. There's more. To focus your hope, 2 Corinthians 1:7. Our hope for you is unshaken. That was going to be the title of our message this Sunday. It may still be. I'm not sure how we're going to work all this. We just wanted to get this out to you. He says, our hope for you is unshaken. But we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Look at verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 1. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. To focus our hope, Romans 5:1-5. Many of you know this, but have you thought about it in the context of suffering? Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Wow. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is a reciprocal thing. Our love for God and God's love for us. It's an incredible thing. Later in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, Paul says it this way, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And listen to what he says, for this light, momentary affliction, really, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. 1 Peter 4:13-14 says it this way, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice Christ's sufferings. Your sufferings, Christ is suffering with you. That you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Why does God allow you to suffer? Because God uses suffering to magnify your experience and focus your hope on God and the glories of eternity. Here's another one. To loosen your grip. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. John 6:5-6. Lifting up his eye then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where do we buy bread that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he knew what he would do. He knew there was a lack. He knew there was nothing they could do. They were depending on the world. What are we going to do? How are we going to feed? Even after he fed the 5,000, remember, the 4,000, they did it again. It takes us a while to learn lessons, doesn't it? Moses learned a lesson. Hebrews 11:24-27. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ, interesting, Moses way before, considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Why does God allow you to suffer? Because God uses lack, limits, or loss to break your attachment to and confidence in earthly resources and worldly things. Here's another one, to reveal your heart. Genesis 22:1-2 says this, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And Abraham said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. The very son of promise. He told him, now, I've given you a dream. But he did it to test him. Abraham passed the test. He knew, the father of our faith. Hebrews 11:17-19 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who wasn't a kid, by the way. He might have been 30 years old. Hey, Dad, what are you doing putting me on here and lighting this on fire? Where's the sacrifice? Well, son, I'm sure he figured it out. People talk about the faith of Abraham, not about the faith of Isaac, but it says, Abraham, who had received the promises when the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God, what was going on, was able to even raise him from the dead. From which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Why does God allow you to suffer? God brings pain to show you what you love most. Where you find joy in God, or look elsewhere and question His goodness, when you really understand, when you really begin to realize that the comforts of God are never less than the suffering that He brings, then you'll learn to forego other comforts, other dreams, other things, even promises for God's presence. Here's another one. Oh boy, we don't like this one. To teach you obedience. Deuteronomy 8:5 says, "Know this in your heart, then, that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord disciplines you." The book of Job 5, verse 17 and 18 says, "Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore despise not the discipline of the Almighty. For He wounds, but He binds up. He shatters, but His hands heal." Now here's a sort of negative example where God is teaching you obedience by using the sins of others who do you wrong to make you more right. Romans 12:17-21, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all." And we think, well, you know, I can do that, but sometimes we're pretty stubborn. It says, if possible, sort of ours, it depends on you, live peaceably with you all, which means some people are not going to be very peaceful with you. "Behold, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, will he heap burning coals on his head." And that doesn't mean, ooh, see, I'll do this, so then God will get him. He says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Again, God uses the sins of others against you and their wrongs to make you more right. He teaches you obedience by the things you suffer. Hebrews 12:9-11 says this, "Besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father's spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Why does God allow you to suffer? Because God uses the effects of sin to discipline the sin out of you. That includes the consequences of your own sin and also the sins done to you by others. Let's go ahead and do some more. Why does God allow you to suffer? To build your character. Another famous passage here, James 1:2-4. "Count it all joy." It means put it in the joy column. "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." 1 Peter 5:8-10 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Why does God allow you to suffer? Because the more that you're tested and refined by troubles, the more proven, mature, and useful you become. A couple more let's do. Next one, to demonstrate your witness. 1 Thessalonians 1:6-7. Listen to this. "And you became imitators of us and the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." It's all of Greece. That's the Corinthians. They were in Greece. James 5:10 says, "An example of suffering and patience, brothers. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Think about if you know, Thessalonica. It's amazing. You think of the city next to you, or the church down the street, or other faiths, or whatever it is, and you're suffering for Jesus, and you have joy, and you know that it stirs other people up. You know that's true. You need it. You see it, and you want it. Same thing. Give it. 1 Peter 2:20-21 says it this way, "For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer it, you endure, that's a gracious thing in the sight of God. For this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. Why does God allow you to suffer? Because when you follow Jesus despite problems, it stirs up other believers. It stirs up me. And it shows the world is worth to you. Jesus makes this flabbergasting, this incredible claim that it's worth it to suffer for me. And we're saying, I believe. I believe. It says something. Let's do one more. This one seems like no way. But it's true. We think just Paul. No, you. Why does God allow you to suffer? To satisfy your soul. Not with the suffering. Not because, like, the suffering. Oh, I like it. Oh, it's satisfying me. No, 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 no. He satisfies you with himself through this. Paul says it this way in Philippians 1:21. You know the verse. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's a guy that's sold out. He says, while I'm here, I'm living for Christ. When I die, hey, it's great. He continues in Philippians 2, verse 17 through 18, even if I'm to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Colossians 1:24 says it this way, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. Paul's not saying that Jesus was lacking anything. He was saying that the people he was writing to were lacking in their experience of Jesus. And so Paul is manifesting the experience of Jesus to them. Through his suffering, Paul is fulfilling his ministry, and it thrills his soul. He knows God is using him, and he's satisfied in God, and that's what we're to do also. Make the most of it. Why does God allow you to suffer? Because affliction makes you a gift from God, a living sacrifice, gratified with God more than other comforts. Well, that's a way to overcome sin, is having to suffer. So, for this time, there you have it. That's 10 good reasons why God allows you to suffer. Let's go over them again. Just real quick, let's just name them. To reveal his compassion. To mold your ministry. To prove your faith. To focus your hope. To loosen your grip on this world. To reveal your heart. To teach you obedience. To build your character. To demonstrate your witness, and to satisfy your soul. God's good purpose is to make your suffering worth it. And there are, I believe I've got at least 7 other reasons why God allows suffering in your life. And we're going to discover those as we examine Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 through 11. For now, again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida, and you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. God bless you.